This episode is brought to you in part by Thomas Nelson, publisher of But God Can, How to Stop Striving and Live Purposefully and Abundantly. Written and narrated by Becky Kaiser and is available everywhere audiobooks are sold.
You're listening to the Enneagram and Marriage Podcast. I'm your host, Krista Harden, and I'm so glad you showed up for our relationship chat today, as well as for you and your people. We're all about living intentionally here so you can experience joy and balance in your relationships once again or for the very first time. Be sure you hang with us on our social media platforms, and if you like research like I do, make sure you check out our website at enneagramandmarriage.com for our weekly newsletter, freebies, and so much more, as well as at Instagram and Facebook. We have so many goodies to share with you. Let's dive right in together.
Hello, I am so glad to have you for this second episode about finding your marriage mission. As you know, I'm Krista Harden, and I'm really geeked out for this time together where we're not only looking at how you can get to know yourself and your gifts individually today, but also how you can combine those with your spouse or your partner. Because I want you to take note that all of the research and the work I've done over the span of two decades has led me to believe that when couples are actually able to serve together, it's so much better than just serving as two parallel lines or just serving themselves. Something I talk about in my release workbook for couples long before my Enneagram work. And that's a workbook I still use on Amazon. If you ever just need a straight up deep dive attachment wound healing marriage resource, my book Release, I go over a whole chapter on how can we have service to others versus a serve us mentality. And so that is something, unfortunately, we don't see a lot of in marriage research. We just see a lot of like, let's talk about satisfaction and how intimacy brings that up. And let's talk about how communication with money. And if you got a chance to hear Monday's episode, you know I'm all about that, making sure you get it, that compatibility can be had with each and every type, and that you guys can find your ways back to intimacy with intentionality. But today we're adding that deeper dive level just to give you a brief reminder that when you're focused entirely in on that Erikson stage of intimacy versus isolation, and you remain frozen there, even through your 20s and onto your 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s and so on, you really miss out on this beautiful stage that Erikson calls generativity versus stagnation. And I remind you of that again today because I want you to have that mindset of growth and neurogenesis and the understanding that you can actually make beautiful changes in the world with your two unique gifts. And of course, with your gift, with your friends' gifts. And I've had a lot of people using my book to talk about their friends and family and coworker dynamics, as I've mentioned. And I'm so glad we can glow out there with all kinds of different people. But the person that you're married to, often we clash there after a little while in marriage and we think, oh my gosh, like they're so different from me. How can we serve? And I like to view that analogy before I dig in and even invite my husband on for a bit of conversation. I want to let you know that if you think about the two of you tracking on parallel lines, it's like two people in a road race and they're working together, but there's not much connection. It's like if a lot of my male clients do these big, huge races, and a lot of the females do too, but it seems like a lot of men are like, hey, I have extra, testosterone to burn off or something in me that's wanting me to do this. And my wife is nursing at home and this isn't the season for her to do that. And it's kind of like, yeah, but you're getting to be buddy-buddy with those people, but you're not fully integrating with those people. As you run on that course together, you might give each other a tip and that's great, but we want more than just these baton passings for you and your spouse. We want some integration. And so a better analogy for the two of you is to truly allow your marriage to be like puzzle pieces that fit together, that are different. Sometimes we have those jagged little edges. And sometimes we need, as a friend mentioned at church this week, he said he and his wife, she sharpens his edges and he softens hers. And he's like, are you guys like that? I was like, we're a totally different ballpark. But it was a really neat analogy. Whatever your edges are like, this is how marriage can work when we're intentional, when we're able to say, oh my gosh, like we bring a different gifting. So take note, it's okay. Even if you're the same type, same instinct, there's going to be some different overlays from culture or gender or perhaps generation. And it's just neat to see, okay, I can give you this, you can give me that. And now we have something and we can create something that really was neither of us. And so I love that. And I want to encourage you that when we were initially developing the idea of the glow and when I was seeing it in my sessions, I was like, this is neat because I'm watching you guys not just influence each other, but change each other across time. Like, imagine you kept doing the same puzzle over and over again. And you noticed that after a while, the pieces were softer, or like some of them were a little bit broken. I know with me, I have this picture of me with my mom I've mentioned before, where she's I put this in my Just Your Type book, but she's showing me like she's so proud that I've just done this puzzle of Mickey and Minnie Mouse, and then I'm covering up the pieces that are missing. And it's just like reality, right? Like sometimes through this whole journey of marriage, we have some missing pieces that we're like trying to smile through that, but at the same time, I'm like, hey, I still love you, whether it's missing teeth or body parts. Who knows? We have all kinds of surgeries and issues that we go through. And we are talking all about that on our deep dive episodes as we're talking about the self-pres resource today. But in today's moment together, here and now, I just want you to take heart if you're in that space where you're like, we're totally different. We don't bring the same things, or we've sharpened each other or softened each other in some bad ways too, in some shadowy ways. I want you to know that as you're learning here with me, as I'm co-regulating you with my voice, you're doing that work for others too. You are growing, you are changing, you are shifting. It's hard to notice sometimes, but little by little, you are becoming more strong, more resilient, and more resilient as you take in what I say. And you really allow yourself that time to rest and to decompress in between all of your serving. That will help your window of tolerance to be more open. It will help you to become more expansive. And you will find that in your own trauma, you are able to handle more than you were. But like the analogy, my friend Jessica recently shared a trauma training with me. And there was a great analogy about how when we're at the gym, we don't stay there all the time. That'd be so weird if you're like, why am I not getting stronger? I'm here all the time. You don't have to be, you can't be. It's okay if you need rest or days where you're just like, I'm totally not working out and I'm eating my Cheetos, which was what I would do if I was having a day like that. So just make sure that you know that as you're also taking into account, you and your spouse are very powerful together more than you are alone. And you have a unique way you shine together. And really quick before Wes comes on, I just want to say I'm grateful in the sense that when I was working with a couple this week, I had, you know, really looked at their pairing and I had said, okay, I think you guys are going to shine and show up in this unique way together. And this is what I see. And what was so beautiful and knocked my socks off was that I never wear socks anyway, but they were like, oh, we've changed in a really expansive way. Like, this is an introvert I'm married to. And now I'm showing him that emotions are good and healthy. And he was a 5. And it was just beautiful to see him reach up, take that gift of emotionality. And I was like, gosh, you guys have surpassed my dreams. You know, I was thinking you'd be helpful and you can bring him to this help. And yet it was like, oh my gosh, the awakenings you guys can do. Some of the things I'm not even going to be aware of. Just cheer for yourself. Give yourself that butterfly hug and truly celebrate the ways you're bringing change to your spouse, even ways that I couldn't even dream of when I was writing the pairing dictionary. I just want you guys to soar beyond what I've called you to and envisioned for you, and just surprise me and tell me about it when that happens sometimes. I love to hear that. Feel free to DM me. You know, we love to hear from you guys on Instagram or here. So just make sure you keep that in mind. I'm going to have Wes on to share a little bit about the ways that he has processed through this glow as well, so that you guys can hear from another perspective. And I really wanted him to be able to share too, because we had a nice time chatting and I didn't get to share all of that interview with him recently. So, okay, let's chat with Wes. You know, what do you think are the biggest Enneagram lessons that have been most helpful to you? It could be just a general tool. You might not even have the name for it, but just explain, if you don't mind, what would you say is your favorite reason to use the Enneagram or something that's helped you?
For our marriage. For our marriage. Yeah. I mean, for our marriage, I think it's been especially helpful for that, you know, for me to really appreciate the natural inclinations that you have and probably will always have as like, you know, leanings. Because then I can know, you know, maybe partly why you're feeling a certain way or why you do things a certain way that are different than the way I do them, you know? And that kind of understanding helps. I mean, it's just like anything else in life, you know? You know, it helps you to not be prejudiced against somebody or to judge somebody when, you know, maybe they're acting a certain way, but you don't know what they've been through. You don't know what, the, you know, what raw materials they're dealing with.
Yeah.
And it's the same here. I can know a little more about what raw materials you're dealing with. And that helps me to sympathize, helps me to empathize. And then I can be a better teammate. You know, I can not maybe be so quick, like as a type one with my guttural, you know, response, you know, instinctively to say, this isn't the way you do it. No, this isn't the right way to approach this, you know, or why do you do it like this? Why can't you do it like this? You know, like that's how I was because that's natural and normal for me. But now I have more sympathy. Now I have more patience, and because I understand more, my eyes are open to that about you, you know. And as a seven, it's not as natural for you to see either the order in things or the potential order in things, you know. And so, but for me, it comes more naturally, you know. And so, I shouldn't feel upset with you about that. I should try to, you know, be loving, and if you want it, you know, give you help in that way. Or if you don't, then just be grateful for all the good things about you that, that are, that you are giving too, you know?
And I want to ask you a question based off of that, but go ahead.
Cause sure. I think you were going to, and that, so I was, that's kind of like the negative part of it, but then there's the positive too. And that is, you know, knowing more about what you're naturally, you know, gifted at,
or your partner,
you know, you're it's going to help me to, that's what I mean about you.
Yeah.
You know, I can appreciate it even more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like an artist, you know, who you could just look at a painting and be like, I get a good feeling from that. But if you really study art, you appreciate it even more because you know what goes into it, right? You know, what brush strokes they used on purpose, you know, what lighting, what perspective and all that. And it's like, it's kind of like that with the Enneagram. It's like, I already appreciated this beautiful person that God made specially named Krista. But now that I've studied a little more, maybe in one aspect, how he made you, it's like, I can appreciate this beautiful work of art even more. You know what I mean?
That's me.
I see it. My eyes are open to that part of you, and I can celebrate it. I can help to emphasize it in you. I can help to bring it out and encourage it in you. And that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Versus just kind of, like you said, always looking for the weakness or the missing piece. And that's every, I like how you use the one, but I also think that's every type out there. Just hearing that, like, that's a very common thing for spouses to do, is try to change each other. And so when you say that, I'm hoping people listening can really be thinking about, like, what is my spouse really good at? And what can I love how you said, like, you know, highlight it, accent what they're good at, support it.
Yeah.
You know, stop looking at what your spouse is doing wrong and start looking at what they're doing right for a narrative that will help your marriage. That's what research tells us about marriage research anyway. But what about, let's go back to something, because you brought up a great point, and we don't want you stuffing it as a one, and you've done a good job. No one's perfect. I'm not, certainly not perfect, but what would you say about, like, okay, I am trying to see her best and I'm trying to do this, looking at the positive, you know, kind of mantra, but then there's still feelings, there's still hurt. Like, what has helped you to just be able to do that when the feelings are still there, even when you know you should look at the positives?
So what are you saying now? What helps me to quell my frustration?
Anger. Yeah. Because you said I shouldn't be angry, but I don't want you to feel like you're not allowed to be angry, but just how can you work through that anger? Or what do you like to do that?
Well, I try to put myself in your shoes is what I was saying. Like I, you know, if I had been dealt the same hand of cards, you know, maybe I would have played the same hand, you know, like maybe I would have done the same thing because that was so that's the kind of thing that we all need to be doing, you know, kind of like walking a mile in another person's shoes mentally, so that we aren't so quick to be upset about it. You know, that's what I try to do.
And that helps you. It sounds like that helps you to definitely not feel helps angry.
Me. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I can still feel annoyed, but I won't be like angry, like in a righteous anger kind of a way. You know what I'm saying? Which is what ones are tempted to do.
Yes. That's you know, a good one.
Yeah. I mean, and it's normal. Like everyone has tastes.
Yeah.
You know, like, and that's normal. But you can focus on all of the things that you like, that you appreciate. And there's a lot of them, you know, in your spouse, you know, that's why you're with them, you know, or you wouldn't have ended up with them, you know? And so that's what I try to do is just focus on all the, and that's, yeah, I mean, we have to do that about everything in life, you know, I mean, it's like your job, your family, which you don't get to choose, you know, as far as your extended family and you know what I mean? And where you live, like everywhere has pluses and minuses, and you got to focus on those pluses. You got to focus on what you get to have because it's awesome. It's wonderful, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And to do otherwise is just a waste. It's just hurting yourself, you know? I mean, so that's what I try to do. Yeah,
that's good. And I was just talking to Enneagram and Relationship today on Instagram, and she said, and her name's Amanda, but she said that she really sees a lot of couples too. And she said that she usually sees people who pick somebody with a very different gifting so that they can complement them.
Yeah.
And
I think that makes sense.
I think that does too. I do see people with a similar gift. As we were talking the other night on our walk, I said they have a little bit more strengths, but then they have some bigger shadows. Like if you're married to somebody of the same type, because then you have bigger blind spots, but also bigger strengths.
Right.
So I think each pairing has a gift and a potential, and they all share something in common. And that is you're going to help each other to become more expansive and to grow into new, stronger, better. Just like when you work out a muscle, you're going to be better now at type 7 stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be better at type 1.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Over time, it gets easier. Right.
Mm-hmm. So that's how you can find your glow too, is to be able to say, you know, I'm no longer just a 7, but, you know, I really enjoy some of these 1 spaces in my life. Or you're like, I'm a 1, but why are people like, are you ever a 7? No, not at work. They're not going to say that, but they do on a lot of our family trips. They do. I'm saying, Wes, you're in your 7. And I'm like, can I go read my book?
Right. Well, yeah, you bring that out of me, and I love that part of myself when that happens. But well, you mentioned the word glow. So that's another dimension, you know? So these are things I appreciate about you. I try to focus on these things that I appreciate about you. I hope you do the same about me.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's this added dimension of what I appreciate about us, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So not only do I like you and I like being with you, but I love what we are together. You know, I love that when I mix my personality with your personality, we can bless the world in this unique way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking one time, I don't know, a couple of years ago or whatever it was, and we had been listening or looking, we were out walking and looking at the moon, and I was remembering this song by Sarah Grove. She's an artist that we really like. And it talks about how the moon is just a cold, dark stone, but it's lit up by the sun, you know, and it's a song about God, how I'm just like the moon, but I'm brought to light, you know, when you shine on me and that kind of a thing. And I was thinking about how we were thinking about how, well, how do we shine on each other too?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And then how do we shine on each other and then shine out into the world?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how does God shine on us in a unique way that reflects off into the world versus to other people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's a really cool thought, you know, whether it's like two gems or prisms or two stones or whatever it is, but like But like, we're reflecting light in unique ways individually, but also in another way as a couple.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the Enneagram glow.
Yes, that really is. Yep. And that was fun to really walk through when I saw all those couples acting like that. And then I saw us and I'm like, wow, we have our own relationship gifts and personality too. Yeah. So, but there's strengths to it. There's shadows to it. There's the dark side of the moon. Even as a couple, I've been over the years, like, Wes, we have been that judgy aunt and uncle sometimes, or we're that fun aunt and uncle, but we're not always present emotionally. And that is a very big blind spot sometimes for us. So you have to know what are your gifts together? What are your blind spots?
Yes.
And I love how the glow can be part of that conversation.
It's just useful. It's very useful. And so, And it's a beautiful idea too, I think, you know, when you think about, like, I'm a science guy, you know, I taught science and now I'm in medicine. And so when you think about colors, you know, and how you have these primary colors or pigments or pixels, and when you mix them together, you get a new color, you know, and it's a unique one that shines in a way like they don't apart.
Yeah.
And that's just a beautiful thing. I mean, all the beautiful pictures we get to see in nature and even in, you know, on technology, on computer screens and TV screens and cell phones. I mean, it's because of these same three little pink colors, you know, but just combined in unique ways. And it's fun to think about how all these couples in the world are doing the same kind of thing.
Yeah, it is. And each one of you guys is unique. So some of you are just looking for that still, and just make sure that you grab my book so that you can find your particular because I have done a lot of work to help you to discover that. You're going to be even more nuanced than I can ever get with you because of everything, culture, gender, so many other norms.
Oh, yeah.
But I think that it'll give you a really good jumping off point to say, here's how we are as a family, and then as a couple, and then as my friend Bina was sharing in our lunch group, you know, how about as a family glow? How do we shine? And I noticed Anna helped you last night because she was talking about emotions, and
it's great.
She was glowing with you because she was like, "Dad, I want to hear your heart. You don't have to be in beautiful. Your gut." And
she's
your
a
head.
Four. Yeah, I love it. I love it, and I love that all of us in our family happen to have unique personalities. You know,
Yeah.
It's fun that I get to enjoy that. So,
yes. Well, thank you for sharing today. That was so helpful to
I loved it.
Just learn with you, Wes. And thank you for coming on today. I know you have a million things to do. He's the one, he's in his doing space. So I'm going to let him go do. But thank you for coming on with us. Okay. Thank you guys so much for tuning in and just leaning in to find the rest of your marriage mission so that you could truly just sink into it. And you could just have a meeting together this week or sometime soon to say, hey, can we just talk about one of the missions we want to do lately? It doesn't have to be that you decide to go somewhere on a mission trip or that you decide you're donating to your favorite cause. It might be that you guys start small where you're like, oh, you know what? We're going to start calling a relative that we don't normally call once a week, an elderly relative who's homebound, or we're going to do something for a child for an Operation Christmas Child Box this year. I don't know your capacity and resourcing, but I do know that you guys are creative together, not just survival based. So let's move from just survival. Yes, we'll do some of that too, but to creativity and joy together can be found right there. So thank you for tracking with me. Make sure you grab my book, The Enneagram in Marriage, Your Guide to Thriving Together in Your Unique Pairing on Amazon or Kindle. I was so happy, or also Audible or audiobooks.com. I was so happy this week at church when my friend came up to me and said, I love your book, but I wanted it to be your voice. But I was like, you know what? This lady, Rosemary Benson, I think she has me beat for voice acting. So I was like, enjoy Rosemary Benson. And I will be here with you on the podcast. And I will talk to you guys soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you again for listening with us. It was so wonderful to have you. I love knowing we're doing this journey together, not perfectly, but with love, grace, and hopefully some fun too. If you love today's episode, make sure you leave us a 5-star review at Apple Podcasts or Spotify so others can find it too. Visit our show notes so you can get all the links from today's show, as well as enneagramandmarriage.com, the Instagram, the Facebook, and all over the place. Make sure you spread the word. Love living intentionally with you. Bye-bye.